Welcome to the Nonprofit Growth Show, presented by Nonprofit Megaphone, the podcast where we highlight nonprofit leaders in the trenches who share the strategies and tactics they use to grow their organizations and make a difference each day. As we like to say, if you want to be discouraged by a general sense of decay, read the news. But if you want to be inspired by concrete stories of growth, talk to a nonprofit. Here's to the modern day superheroes, the nonprofit leaders. Let's dive in.
Hey everyone, we're here with Christy Menning. She is the Director of Development at McCrossin Boys Ranch and has a wealth of experience to share with us. Christy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I am really excited to jump in as we always do. And I was wondering if you could take us to a dramatic or climactic moment that has happened in your development lifetime, in your development career, and tell us what happened.
Sure. Well, it's been a couple of years ago, but my board had insisted for our annual banquet auction that they wanted to have Tom Brokaw speak at our event. He is a South Dakota native, which is where we are located. And they wanted him to come not only to speak, but they wanted him to do it as a donation to McCrossin Boys Ranch. You know, and this is a person that's fee is usually over $100,000 to have him come to your event. And so we thought, well, it's worth a try. So I went ahead and I wrote him a letter, sent it certified mail, got the answer back from him. It was a big no. So year one, no go. Year two, I thought, you know what? I'm going to try again. Also a no. Year three, sent him the same letter, had a couple people write some letters of recommendation for me to come speak, have him come speak at the banquet auction. And lo and behold, I get a phone call from Tom Brokaw's personal assistant, and she says he would love to come this year. It finally works. Let's get this planned. And so I was so excited because after two no's, you get kind of frustrated. And then the third time was a charm. And so I think that just goes to show that sometimes a no can turn into a yes, and that it's not always the end, result.
What a cool story. And I love the little tidbit of certified mail just for that little extra touch and sending the letters of recommendation. That's brilliant. That is so smart. I love that. Thank you for sharing that, because I feel like that is not only a cool story to hear, but also something that others could maybe apply for going for their dream guest banquet and so forth. Cool. Well, Christy, tell us some of your background and how you got to where you are today.
Well, you know, my first experience with fundraising was back when I was in college. I had a job working for the SDSU Foundation in Brookings, South Dakota, and I did kind of phone solicitation to alumni. And so that was kind of the first time I got my feet wet in the fundraising field. At the time, I was a broadcast journalism major, and I ended up pursuing my dream of going into TV. And so I was an anchor and reporter here locally in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. But after doing it for about a year or two, it was just so tiresome. And I thought, you know, this career just isn't for me. I want to be able to use my writing and my storytelling skills to do something good. And so I ended up opening up the newspaper, searching for about a week, and I found a job at a local nonprofit. And I thought, you know what? I think this is a match made in heaven. And so I went and applied for it. And lo and behold, now I've been at that same nonprofit for 17 years.
Absolutely incredible. That is such a fun story. And I feel like especially in development roles that often have higher turnover because it is stressful and very, it's a lot. That's such a cool testament to the fact that it is possible to make it sustainable and to make it something that you can continue to do.
You bet.
For decades, which is really, really cool. I'd love to learn a little bit about the organization. And particularly, is there a story that you could tell about the impact that McCrossin Boys Ranch has had maybe on an individual, like a single person or a family, that sort of crystallizes for you the impact that the nonprofit's making?
Sure. Well, first off, just to give you a little background, we help at-risk boys ages 9 to 20 help find new hope for a better life. We serve about 200 kids annually. And I think the reason why I've stayed in my position so long is because I get to see firsthand the changes that are made. My office is right next to the admissions department here. And so I get to see what the kids look like when they come in. And I also get to see, you know, how nervous and how excited they are when they leave. You know, so many of the kids that come into our program, it's their first time having to use a service like this. And they kind of come kicking and screaming, but they kind of leave the same way too. Because once they're here, Macross and Boys Ranch is truly home to these boys that we help. You know, kids take out of the trenches of meth labs and other things like that, that have turned their lives around and become productive citizens of our society. This past couple years, we actually scholarshiped one of our own boys to go to dental school, and he's actually a dentist now. And so I've seen these at-risks go to Harvard. I've seen them go to anything, you know, and I've seen them just, you know, even get just a good job and start a family and live a successful life that way too. And so I've seen kind of the full spectrum of what our programs can do for the boys. And as a fundraiser, I get to meet with so many of the alumni that pass through our doors. And that is just always so heartwarming for me.
That's incredible. And so it's such a cool image that people come kicking and screaming and also leave kicking and screaming because now it's home for them. Are there tactics, maybe similar to the one that you shared already, that have been particularly helpful for you in fundraising or development work that you could share that others might be able to apply as well?
Yeah, you know, we do a lot of special events at our nonprofit, and it's not only for raising funds, they're also for creating awareness. And so one of the, you know, big tactics that I have is actually to give away some of those tickets to our top donors. Sometimes you can't get your donors engaged by visiting with them. Sometimes they need to come out and see it and touch it and feel your mission. And so, you know, 2 years ago, I happened to give a farmer out here a ticket, and I put him at a very special table. After that event, he said that that event had warmed his heart so much and taught him so much about our mission. He ended up making a several million dollar estate gift. And so, you know, I think just getting your donors out to see your mission, we do so many donor tours out here. Where we invite donors to come and see what we do, maybe have lunch with our boys, that they feel a part of the mission. And we get people out to our campus, and it's a beautiful campus out in the country here on the prairie of South Dakota. And it's just one of those things that when you see it, you can feel it. And it really, really helps make donations become possible.
Expanding on that, are there other ways? I love the giving people a ticket and saying, hey, I just want you to come. You don't have to pay for it. We just really want you there. Yep. That's such a brilliant approach. Are there other approaches that you've found to be helpful for sparking new relationships or coming into first contact with new folks that maybe aren't yet familiar with the organization at all, but now can start to have a relationship?
Yeah, you know, sometimes we have some of our donors that are maybe testing the waters, I like to say, with our organization. And so usually when I find some of those donors, I have just kind of a get to know you meeting where I might invite them out for coffee, or I might invite them out for a brief tour, or just to come meet with me at my office. I like to hit the road for a couple of months each year and just meet donors. And so I don't even ask them for money the first time. And I think that just shocks people, because usually when the fundraiser comes to visit, they expect you to ask for money. And so when I don't do that, that's just usually just baffling to them. And it usually just spurs a wonderful relationship. They get to ask all the questions that maybe they wanted to know about our organization. And it's actually made our gifts go up. It's made our annual giving go up. It's made major gifts easier to ask for. You know, sometimes I don't always do these visits in person. I actually do some qualifying visits just over the phone. Time is a precious commodity these days, and saving money is so important for nonprofits that, you know, just picking up the phone and talking to donors just means so much to them.
Absolutely brilliant. Do you tell folks in the first conversation, hey, just so you know, I'm not going to ask you for money because I think the relationship is more important? Or do you just proceed like a normal discussion and the ask just never happens. And then people are sort of, do they ask you? How do they respond? Because I love that. That's so insightful. Yeah.
You know, a lot of times I'll just call them up and just say, hey, I've never had a chance to meet you in person before, and I'd just like to get to know you. Sometimes it's really helpful for me to get to know the person behind the check when we receive it. And so, you know, a lot of times people are pretty open to meeting with me when they just hear that. And I think that they are shocked. I don't say on the phone, hey, I'm not going to ask you for any money. So I think people are kind of waiting for it sometimes. I've had only one person in one of these visits ask me, so what did you come here for? And I said, just honestly, to get to know you, you know, and they were just so happy about that, that their donations were appreciated, that they got a chance one-on-one, you know, or maybe it's one-on-two to get to talk to somebody with the nonprofit instead of just get mail from us or just get asked for money from us. And so I think they're usually just really appreciative. People around us are just Midwest nice, I like to say. And so oftentimes I get a cup of coffee or a glass of lemonade and a hug when I go out the door. And that makes it all worthwhile.
Absolutely. Oh, that's so cool. I love that approach, not only tactically, but also philosophically. One of the things that we really enjoy doing on the show is having friendly debates, and it's very fun. And I unfortunately always lose, but that's okay. And the debate we have teed up for today is the question, is tax reform a negative for nonprofits? So that specifically the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, or whatever its official name is, of a year or two ago, is that a positive or a negative? So Christy, would you like to take the side that it's a positive or that it's a negative?
You know, I'm going to go with negative. I've had now a chance to see how the year has unfolded. You know, when people did their 2018 taxes, that was the first time that, you know, they honestly saw what it was going to do. You know, so many of my donors called me up and said, hey, I wasn't able to claim my gifts this year. What happened? And a lot of people were just taken off guard by it, I think. You know, I see some of my donors now trying a bundling kind of aspect where they're trying to, you know, maybe double up one year and then do nothing the next year. And so I'm seeing more of that. I'm also hearing from some of my donors that are like, you know, I might just wait a year or two to make that big gift because it's not going to affect my taxes, but in a year or two, it might if things change. And so I am personally one of those donors myself that always was able to deduct my charitable giving on my taxes. And it's definitely made a difference in my perception of how much I'm going to give to charities. Maybe, you know, some of them that I didn't give to as much, I've kind of held off on and given more to my favorite charities. I definitely think that it's been a negative in the nonprofit world, as far as the number of gifts that are coming in and the amount. It's definitely affecting your middle class spectrum, I think, as far as giving. And we took a hit. I will definitely say we did take a hit. And I believe this year might be more of the same.
Interesting. Normally, this is the part where I come up with a well-articulated counter-argument that calls into question at least some of what you said. And I am struggling to do so because I'm in the same boat in terms of used to be able to deduct contributions, but now it's just, it all falls under the standard deduction threshold. I'm not sure what the positive offsetting factor would be, if any. I think there are other things happening in the world that are positives in terms of maybe more people are using donor advised funds and being more thoughtful or strategic with their giving, which is maybe a positive. But I think you just might be right that unfortunately fewer tax deductions for the average family means on average, less giving or more clustered giving, which also is not ideal. Okay, that's the first.
We're seeing.
Go ahead.
We're seeing more donor advised funds than ever before, and you know, a lot of people also say that it was supposed to drive corporate giving up. That the corporate America was supposed to get such tax breaks that they would have more money in their coffers for donating. But, you know, I think it's really, you know, it's up to them how they want to spend that money. And a lot of them are, you know, increasing wages, they're increasing their marketing budget. They're not necessarily sticking that back into donating to charities. And so I'm seeing a little bit of an increase in corporate giving, but not very much.
Interesting. That's a really good perspective as well. Okay, well, we'll give you the crown of victory for the debate. Thank you. Thank you for participating in that. And we can now jump into some rapid fire questions. The questions will be rapid. The answers don't have to be. But how would you describe yourself if you could only use one word?
Persistent.
I love it. Would you mind sharing some about that?
Well, you know, I think you heard my story at the beginning of the podcast about not giving up on Tom Brokaw. And I've had that with a number of donors where you can eventually turn a no into yes. You know, sometimes it's a no, not now. And a lot of times us as nonprofit fundraisers say, oh, a no is a no and it's never going to change. And sometimes it's just no, not today, not now, not this project. And so I always say that I'm one of those people who just never give up.
Is there an exciting shift that you're seeing taking place in the nonprofit world today?
Yeah, I definitely think that there's some exciting shifts. I think one of them is just increasing personalization of fundraising asks. You can't just send out a blanket ask anymore and expect people to want to donate. I think people want to know that this ask is for them. I think they want to know that, you know, that you've taken your time to make sure that asks pertain to things that they're interested in. I definitely think that donors are really looking at it more as an investment standpoint. They want to know that their money that they're their causes that they're investing in is worthwhile. And so it's not always just a warm, fuzzy pitch. Sometimes it's really, you almost have to give like an investment type pitch. And so I think we're seeing some of that. I also think that, you know, there's more of an emphasis on recurring giving, which I think is so, so important for nonprofits to see where the stream is coming from. And I also see that artificial intelligence is becoming more and more important to nonprofit fundraisers. I mean, there's so much information at the fingertips of fundraisers, you know, way more than there was 17 years ago when I started here. I mean, people can predict donor giving with certain programs. Even your Razor's Edge programs have, you know, kind of a wealth indicator on it. I think that's definitely one of the trends that we're seeing right now that's going to just continue more and more in the future.
One of the things that is fascinating to us is the notion of networks of practice or communities of practice of people who are in development, maybe across different organizations, but who are influenced by or inspired by each other. Have there been other folks that have been helpful or inspiring throughout your development career that you kind of want to give shout outs to for the roles they've played in your journey?
Sure. You know, I value the Association of Fundraising Professionals so highly. I mean, pretty much everything that I learned has been through AFP and the programs that are offered here locally in my state and the programs that I've attended nationally and international conferences that I've had a chance to attend. I think that getting a CFRE is so important in the nonprofit world. I did that about 10 years ago, and it has just been such a benefit for me. And the education that they continue to make me achieve to keep up on the times with fundraising. You know, locally, I get together for coffee with some of my colleagues on about a quarterly basis. And a lot of them have been in the fundraising world for 10 years or more. And I get so much out of that networking. Rick Weber from Children's Home Society, Nate Stallinga from Dakota Abilities locally, Zanon at Avera. I mean, we all get together and we talk about things that we're going through because fundraising is hard. And sometimes you need a shoulder to lean on that's going through the same thing you are. And so I definitely think that, you know, those colleagues mean a lot to me.
On that note, Christy, is there something that you appreciate now that you didn't maybe fully appreciate 10 years ago?
Yeah, you know, I think I used to think that fundraising was about money. And so when I started, I always thought that fundraising was about money. And I think now that I realize realize it. I think fundraising is more about people and relationships. It's about connecting people to causes that they believe in. Instead of thinking of fundraising as kind of a dirty word, you know, I'd have people look at me and be like, oh, she's a fundraiser. She's going to twist your arm or beg for money. I like to think of myself as helping people make their philanthropic dreams come true, you know, matching, you know, people with causes. And I think that that's one of the things that I've learned over the last, you know, 10 or 15 years is that fundraising is more about people than it is about money.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for spending the time with us. I think it's clear to anyone listening that you're truly, truly an expert in the fundraising field and a force of nature in a very nice, you know, thoughtful relationship way. But I can only imagine how effective you've been able to be for your organization. So thank you for sharing. Thank you for taking time out of what I'm sure a busy schedule to be here with us. Where can people learn more about you if they want to learn more about you or about the organization? Where should they look online?
Sure. You can find me on LinkedIn or on Facebook. Otherwise, you can find our nonprofit McCrossin Boys Ranch at McCrossin.org. And so there's a lot of wonderful information and you can see some of our, you know, fundraising links and how we do fundraising online there, which might be beneficial to your organization. So that's where you can find me.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for being with us, Christy.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Nonprofit Growth Show presented by Nonprofit Megaphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend or giving us a rating or review on your favorite podcast network. We appreciate your support. Until next time.